This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
That's why Lonzo's in charge of everything.
Don't freak me out like that.
I freaked me out.
It's like, what? I forgot one time, okay?
I forget lots of times. This is why, again, Lonzo's in charge of everything. Because Rob Brown stepped out of the room into the Fortress of Nerditude during the break there, and he came back, and as I went in, I was like, oh, I forgot to tell Lonzo that we got to make a phone call over to Columbia, South Carolina to welcome on one of our favorite guests. And as I threw my headphones across the room to remind him, he goes, whoa, chill out, dog. Lulu Kesson's already on the phone.
You've teased it for yesterday and today. I've listened to the show.
I'm just making sure. Because again, as I continue to prove, I'm kind of an idiot. It's just, I've survived
somehow.
So you didn't
look at your call screener software and
I don't pull that up unless that light turns green.
Oh, okay. All right.
I got too much other stuff to worry about over here. I don't want to be in charge. That's too much responsibility for me. I try to avoid that. Ladies and gentlemen, we now welcome in to the radio broadcast a young lady hailing from Columbia, South Carolina, who covers the Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News, the lovely Lulu Kesson, kind enough to join us here on a Friday because, Lulu, you were out shaping the future minds of America yesterday. Is that correct?
That's a very nice way of putting it. Well, first, hello, and thank you for being flexible so I could speak to a journalism class on campus yesterday.
Of course. Of course. Listen, they're going to be better from hearing Lulu Kesson, a young lady who took the college basketball world by storm last week with a cheese stick.
Oh, yes. I'm hoping yesterday Calipari made fun of my reporter friend Anthony's haircut, and I'm hoping that that takes over and makes anyone forget about mozzarella stick gate. So that doesn't linger into March Madness at all.
I told Rob, I was like, did you see the cheese stick thing? He's like, no, I didn't see the cheese stick. I was like, you got to see the cheese stick thing. I thought it was awesome. How big was the cheese stick? I mean, was it a normal size cheese stick or was this, you know, it's just, you just grabbed it for a snack or, I mean, cause that kind of stuff's important to me.
The mozzarella stick, I want to say, was normal size. It was like, I think the brand was Farm Rich, and I say it because quite literally everybody has told me I need an NIL deal with them now and that I should be sponsored, which is just goes against a lot of journalistic protocols, I believe. But it was a normal size mozzarella stick.
Okay, I'm familiar with Farm Rich. You can find it in your local grocer, and they're very good.
And also absolutely should sign Lulu Kesson. Lulu, I am, above all else, a man of ethics and integrity, okay? I'm going to go ahead and say I think you've earned the right to sign that sponsorship deal. And on top of that, I think the cheese stick world needs a face and a voice, and I think it's you.
That's something that I don't think I've ever imagined would be said about me and mozzarella sticks.
I don't think I've ever said it about anybody. And it's like mozzarella sticks, if we're power ranking Lulu Kesson, like the world's favorite bar foods, mozzarella sticks are way up at the top of the power rankings, to the point that I would never say that they needed a face and a voice. They speak on their own. But I got to tell you, when I was on Twitter last Thursday, Friday, whatever it was, and I'm seeing the USA Today, ESPN, Fox Sports all putting up articles about my girl Lulu Kesson and a cheese stick. I'm like, that's it, man. The brand's got a face and a name now.
That's funny, which is, again, I'll say I like mozzarella sticks. I love mozzarella sticks, but like it was so random. I probably haven't eaten a mozzarella stick in like a year, maybe two, before having it because it was offered in the press room and I was starving and I was in the middle of writing. So like the fact that it all came to be, like I was saying that if it happened with like carrots, that would have been like so on brand because I always am munching on carrots or like French fries. Oh my God, I love French fries. But the fact that it was something so random in my food, like in my food life as mozzarella sticks, it just makes it funnier.
Okay. Last food-related question, and then we talk some college basketball here, Lulu Kesson. The numero uno GOAT, no questions asked, fast food French fry is?
Oh, gosh. I'm an OG McDonald's girl. Can't go wrong with McDonald's French fries.
Can't hate on that answer. I really can't. Like, it's the standard. I think there's some that are better for particular days or moods or when you got a taste for a certain thing. But at the end of the day, if I'm looking for consistency and quality, the McD's is the correct answer.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with everything you just said.
Let's talk a little college basketball here, Lulu Kesson. Let's go back, a little flash to the past to start this thing off. Dawn Staley and the girls win the Southeastern Conference Tournament. And I think what jumped off the page to me the most was that there were back-to-back games in the semis and in the final that you're stepping up against teams that have given you problems. The Texas Longhorns had you at one point. You end up with Kim Mulkey and LSU in that rivalry. There were four teams in that semi, and the other three across from the Gamecocks as potential or actual opponents gave you some problems in the regular season. And yet, the Gamecocks down the stretch kind of had a vibe reminiscent of last year of they're just clearly the better team, the best team in this conference. Talk to me about the SEC championship tournament run that Dawn Staley took the girls on.
Yeah, I would agree. Super impressive in the fact that like the Oklahoma win in the semifinals really stuck out to me because at the time, Oklahoma was the number 10 team in the country. And I'll talk about Texas, who is obviously number one. But the fact that South Carolina had practically no issue with one of the best centers in the country, one of the best offenses in college basketball, like it amazed me how in less than 24 hours of prep, they proved, yeah, we are the better team, and it doesn't matter. You know, anything can happen in these tournaments. And I do think Oklahoma, I don't think Oklahoma, like, oh, played an uncharacteristically bad game. Like, both times against South Carolina, they won by huge numbers. The first time it was by 40. I don't remember the final score, but it was maybe by 20 in the SEC tournament. So, again, that's the number 10 team in the country. Like, in March, you should be playing your best basketball, and I think South Carolina showed a lot of March basketball in that game. And then obviously taking care of Texas like they did. I mean, Madison Booker didn't even score. You know, an All-American, one of the best players in college basketball, didn't score until 1 minute till halftime. Overall, against South Carolina, I think she finished like 9 of 47 from the field in the three games. Like, even though Texas won one of the three games, South Carolina clearly showed they can defend a really, really talented scorer. And I think that going into March when they don't know who they're going to play, but they could potentially face, you know, a team with one dominant scorer, that's huge to already have proven that it can do successfully.
I am a subscriber to the Mike Krzyzewski philosophy, and I think it applies to both men's and women's college basketball, Lulu Kesson, that The teams that make runs. Yeah, they may be an offensively explosive team, but the team that makes the runs are the teams that play the grittiest defense, that own the glass, and that talk, that communicate with each other. Clemson men's team failed at all three of those things yesterday. They get beat by a 12 seed. When I watched the games that wrapped up this tournament for South Carolina, I saw a team that, to me from a distance, kind of fulfilled that Mike Krzyzewski prophecy of own the glass, play good defense. They held Texas to less than 30% from the floor while they shot up over 43% or whatever. And on top of that, it just looked like the team that had the chemistry you expect out of the Gamecocks. And there were some spots in the regular season where it felt like that was lacking a little bit.
Exactly. And I do think that South Carolina, in the chemistry and communication on offense, I think was something that I could point to and say was off or lacking at some point in the season. And I think that at some point they made an effort to be better at that. And I think that's made a huge difference. And especially after the UConn loss, looking at how they've been just more dominant and assertive on offense, and especially in the starters, that is kind of them getting back to their old ways in South Carolina basketball. And then when you ask any of the players, like, oh, you could win a historic third national title in your college career. Oh, you won as a freshman. Could you win as a sophomore? Like, all of their answers, and yeah, of course, a little bit is just like, oh, what they say, like classic PR answers. But it is kind of the central theme of, we just want to play South Carolina basketball. We know what South Carolina basketball is. We know how to succeed. And I think Dawn Staley's teams know that it just requires heightened effort in March. It doesn't require a new brand of basketball that they have to somehow rediscover. It's all within themselves. It's just kind of how much are they willing to give.
Lulu Kessin covers the South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News. Ordinarily joins us on Thursdays at 8 o'clock, but as she was out molding the bright minds of future America, she joins us here on a Friday. Looking ahead at the tournament itself, and we'll take a look first at their opening opponent, Tennessee Tech, the Golden Eagles. This team is 26-5. They were 20-1 in conference play in the Ohio Valley Conference this year. Give us, if you don't mind, your quick thought. It's kind of, I think, South Carolina's favored by like 42.5 points in this one. It should be a nice little tune-up game. So what do you expect to see the girls working on tomorrow to get ready to rock and roll for round 2 and 3?
So it should. I will say Tennessee Tech has won 17 straight games, which I just find crazy. Like, South Carolina, obviously, I think their longest win streak this year was 14, but I could be totally wrong because it also could have been 17. But also the Golden Eagles, they shoot a lot of threes, which is something that South Carolina hasn't always defended well in the past. So I think it's a good first game where if South Carolina does jump out to a huge lead at some point, it's good practice for whoever Dawn plays, yes, but also for her main core to be good at defending a strong three-point shooting team, because you're going to face more of that as you kind of make a deep run in March, and especially in transition, that's sort of been an Achilles heel for the Gamecocks. So it's a good first-round matchup for sure.
Now let's look down the rest of this bracket, Lulu Kessin. You're looking at the winner of the 8-9 matchup between Utah and Indiana in round number 2. Further down the bracket, there's an Alabama team that I think would love to rep the SEC out of this bracket. There's a respectable Maryland team, West Virginia. North Carolina is hanging down there. Duke ends up down there in the 2 seed out here in the Birmingham bracket. Talk to me a little bit about what the rest of this run you think would shape up like if South Carolina was able to become a Final Four team again.
Yeah, well, my one bold March Madness take on the women's side so far, or at least for the Birmingham region, is that I think Norfolk State can beat Maryland. Maryland's super injured right now, and the Spartans are a really, really talented team. So I'm curious to see how that game shapes out. But an advantage right off the bat looking at South Carolina's potential matchups is how many teams they've played. They've played Duke already. They've played Alabama already. They've played Michigan already. Now I don't have the bracket up in front of me, but some of these teams that they could potentially meet, you know, Elite Eight, Sweet 16, are teams that they know really well. And that isn't to say it'll be the same result. I mean, every game is different, but it's very fortunate that South Carolina, given their already deep, just March Madness tournament advantage, like you look at a team like UCLA and USC, they could very well be in the Final Four. They could very well make a tournament run, Texas. But South Carolina is one of the only teams with the same roster who has consistently made deep tournament runs. UCLA's current roster, the furthest they've gone is Elite Eight. You know, USC, it's a lot of transfers. South Carolina has to use that to their dynamic, especially if they're looking at these potential matchups with a Duke or an Alabama, somebody that's familiar, because they know how to win in March, and these teams who are talented enough to do so might not have sort of the mental strategy to beat a South Carolina.
Lulu Kessin covers the Gamecocks for the Greenville News, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Lulu Kessin, let's just throw the obvious one out there and ask for a little editorialism. Is this team good enough? Is this team performing well enough that if they were to make it to the Final Four, they would have to take on probably, I would assume, either Texas or Tennessee out of the bottom bracket. UCLA on the other side out in Spokane could be a natty opponent. USC the same. Is this team, in your opinion, coming into the tournament playing well enough to go on a run for a natty?
Absolutely, yes.
Good enough for me. Good enough for me. How's your bracket, by the way, after day one?
Yeah, I haven't even looked. Honestly, on the women's side, men's, whew, picked Louisville. Who else did I pick to? Oh, I picked Yale. I tried to go for some upsets, and they let me down. But, you know, it is what it is. I was telling my boyfriend's mom's doing it, the pool for, like, the first time ever because she's a hockey person. And she's, like, texting in the family group chat, like, let's go Razorbacks, like, to her son, like, you're going down because he picked Kansas and stuff. And I was like, careful, like, day one is heartbreak city. So I have not checked how my women's bracket will, oh, I guess the first four games weren't in. So tonight everything will change on the women's side, but on the men's, not doing so hot.
Hey, it's early. Hey. We haven't even played but half of the first round, Lulu Kessin. Still plenty of time to make something happen. Lulu Kessin covers the South Carolina Gamecocks for the Greenville News. Ordinarily joins us on Thursdays at 8 o'clock. Had to move it back a day, and we are appreciative that she did. Young lady, enjoy the hell out of the tournament. Cannot wait to talk to you next week once we got a couple games under the belt for the Lady Gamecocks.
Yeah, let's hope that next week I'm calling you from Birmingham.
You need somebody to carry your bags? I have not been to a women's tournament. I've been to the SEC tournament. I have not gotten the chance to go to a women's Sweet 16 yet, and it's very high on the list. I'm quite jealous.
Hey, I believe if anyone can make it happen, it's definitely you, Rob Brown.
I love it. You're the best. Lulu Kessin, talk to you next week. Thank you very much.
Have a great weekend. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
If anybody can do it, you can, Rob Brown. Gosh. Surprised you're not clipping that.
I'm on the air still. The production stuff comes later. I also have a very hilarious promo that I'm working on about installing a floor that came from earlier.
I don't know where that what that would be.
You know, listen.
Can't imagine.
We're out here advocating.
I don't know anyone who's done that before.
For people to take up DIY projects.
I don't know any carpenters, so.
We'll see how that plays out. Back after this. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. Thank you very much, as always, to Lulu Kessin for joining the show this AM and talking a little shooty hoops with us. It's time for the Audio Blitz, the best audio we've picked up since yesterday. Let's dive right in. I want to start with this one because I like this take a lot. This was from a couple of days ago before the brackets got locked, but we had a conversation on the show about the proper number of brackets to fill out. Mine One, put your toes in the ground, pound your chest, and stand on business. And I stuck with one. But then a buddy of mine sent me this clip from Peter Burns and the SEC Network crew. And I got to say, it might have won me over a little bit.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I think I can reach a healthy compromise here. I think I can reach a healthy compromise with Peter Burns going with the three H's. You start with the hustle bracket. That's the bracket you fill out the minute that the selection committee is done filling in the blanks. You just grab it off the printer and YOLO it right out of the gate. That's not one that you submit. That's one you just hang out with. There's bracket number two, which is the heart bracket. This is the bracket where you take your big swings at upsets. This is the one where you fill in Clemson to win a national championship, because that's what you want to happen. It's your desire bracket, your heart bracket. I respect that. I like that. That one is, again, not the one you submit. I think the one you submit is the head bracket. The bracket where you actually try to pick the games. You spend some time. You look at the numbers. You check out the wars, the Torvik scores, et cetera, et cetera. And then you put all of those down on paper and come up with your winners. That's the one that you submit. That's the one that you roll with. I think I can compromise with those of you who fill out like 10, 11, 12 different brackets. Because my problem has always been, if you fill out a dozen brackets, you better have one of them that shapes up good. The problem is, you come in here and you start bragging about how you picked 88% of the games right, and you fail to mention that that's on one of the 12 brackets that you filled out. I think I can come to an agreement, to a compromise with the 3H brackets. A hustle bracket you put out the minute the brackets come out. The heart bracket where you put out the one where you're like, yeah, this is what I want to see happen. I want to see Vanderbilt knock off Alabama because that would be the funniest thing that's ever happened. And, you know, this is my favorite team, so I'm selecting them to win the natty. But then you go with the head bracket, the right bracket, the one you think through. And that's the one you submit into the bracket contest and see what you can come up with.
I believe it was earlier on the show, you talked about this thing where you believe your way is how it should be everyone's way. And fill out as many brackets as you want.
Pal, this isn't my way. My way is one bracket. Don't be a coward.
That's my way. Don't call me pal.
Buddy.
There we go. That's better. It's the same vitriol, but I suddenly feel like pal is worse.
Pal is, I don't know that I've ever used pal in a kind way.
Yeah.
Pal is what you think buddy is.
Don't think I can't find something.
Pal?
With pal on it, for sure. Fill out as many brackets as you want, especially if you're entering a ton of contests. There's one contest that we know of. You can enter it 15 times. Enter it all 15 times. Don't listen to Rob. You got a chance to win with one. Maybe you get multiple prizes for multiple entries. I just don't have a problem with it. I don't know why you're the arbiter of the bracket.
Cowards.
But the arbiter went north.
Stand on business.
You're already breaking. You said you can understand three. Before, there was no way.
No, absolutely. What I said was, I can compromise on three.
That's it. You're compromising.
Compromise.
You say one only, and now you're willing to compromise.
Compromise doesn't mean I have to like it. It just means that in order to come to an agreement with you, I will give a little if you give a little back.
Your wall of absolute is crumbling, and we're all witnessing it.
It's not a wall of absolute. I'm a compromise. I am the great compromiser. Let's keep rolling on with our audio blitz. I like this. My man XL Xavier Lee Gett got himself a sponsorship deal. Xavier Lee Gett is hooked up with, honestly, one of my top three snacks of all time. Now, the words that Xavier Leggett continued to repeat there is, I am happy to continue serving in my role as official Xavier Leggett translator for the Carolinas. He repeatedly says the words, it's lava time, baby. And the reason that he keeps saying it's lava time, baby, is because XL just picked up a sponsorship with Reese's Cups. And
no, it's lava cups, man.
I'm not done yet.
All right.
With Reese's Cups, specifically a Reese's Cup that I actually stopped at a gas station and got yesterday.
Oh, so you've tried it.
Yeah, dude, it's delicious. The lava cup is a Reese's Cup, but underneath of the peanut butter, there is a layer of soft, gooey chocolate that goes underneath. It's because the regular milk chocolate of the Reese's Cup that contains the peanut butter, it works perfectly with the peanut butter. That is why Reese's Cups have always been power ranked inside the top three Rob Brown gas station snacks. Plus, you can buy a king size with eight of them in there. You can buy the monster solo, or you can just get one Reese's Cup. Like, it's perfect. It's adaptable. If I just want a little snack, you get a little snack. If I'm being a fat son of a piece of lard, I buy the 8-pack and I go ham. But XL, my man knows snacks, because that lava cup with the little gooey chocolate in the bottom, it gives just that, because I'm I love chocolate and peanut butter, but I'm a chocolate guy at heart. It gives just a little bit more, and it's that like rich, dark chocolate. Mwah.
All right, so I was curious, because it is peanut butter egg season, if they make the lava peanut butter egg, and it looks like they do.
Love this guy. It is lava time, baby. All right, this one's a little bit longer. I'm probably not going to play the whole thing, but it is a little bit longer because we got Rashad Beard coming up in the next segment. I'm going to play this mainly because I might just let this carry the rest of the show. NIL deals are a thing in college now, right? NIL deals are a thing in college. Well, an NIL deal has been signed between the team trainers of the Kentucky Basketball, not the Kentucky basketball team, the trainers, and a pool company at Lexington, Kentucky. And in order to celebrate the NIL with the, again, team trainers for Kentucky basketball, They dropped this absolute banger. I'm going to play the rest of it later because I want to.
Of course you are.
I'm going to play the whole damn song. That is 2.5 minutes of maybe some of the greatest music I've ever heard.
I don't think anyone's ever used I Got Fiji on Ice, but I could be wrong.
Girl, you're looking parched. Let me fill up your cup and win your heart. From a water boy? I had to try to compete with Boban's love song, and now I got to go up against it. I used to be a basketball player. That was the only reason I could pull the cheerleaders in high school. Now I got the trainers out here dropping beats like that, laying bars down on it. And by the way, the Kentucky cheerleaders are the girls in the video, and they are absolutely dropping it on these water boys. After all the years.
Excuse me, as an older gentleman here, what do you mean by dropping it?
I mean,
the girls are dropping it. I don't know what that is. What is it?
Oh, bless your heart, poor sweet Lonzo. Bless your heart. Rashad Beard.
Call me Grandpa.
Host of the Panther Nation podcast joins Pappy and I in the next segment. We'll get his thoughts on what, I don't know if that's going to be like winning any Grammys next year, but it should. Back after this to talk a little Carolina Panther offseason football on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one Lonzo, just a couple of...
See, I don't like that you set me up. I was going to spring it later on. You got to do this. All right, your name's on the show.
Talking basketball during the break. Now we talk... We talk football. We talk Panther football with a host of the Panther Nation podcast. You can find them on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, find them on YouTube. Make sure you are liked up, that you are subscribed. You get the notifications going because the boys go live all the time. Rashad Beard, kind enough to join us here on a Friday because I guess his job was more important or something yesterday. Is that it?
Apologize to the audience for those, if there are any, that were expecting me yesterday. I had to get some work done, so I missed my call time yesterday, so I do apologize.
What do you mean, if? Everyone looks forward to seeing you every week.
Hey, I don't know, man. I just show up every week.
Me too. Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Let's just start with the open end, bud. Since the last time that we got together and talked a little Panther pigskin, is it the J.C. Horn extension? Is it the Rico Dowdle signing? What was the thing that made you look and go, all right?
Yeah, I think a lot of things. I think if you look at free agency in totality, we were able to address the defensive side of football, which obviously is our biggest need. I think they did a good job. If you look at the actual contracts themselves, I think they're well-structured, pushing money into the future and not taking the burden of the contracts on in 2025, giving us a little bit of wiggle room to kind of play around. So I think Dan Morgan, they did a great job. The whole entire front office, they pivoted. Obviously not getting Milton Williams, and they were still able to do a lot of damage in free agency. So I like Rico. I think that's an excellent pickup because you don't know what you're going to do with Jonathan Brooks. We're all going to assume that he's going to miss the season, but you still pack a 1-2 punch with Hubbard and Rico. I think that's a great pickup. You don't know what you're going to get from either one of them when they're on the field. They're both capable of catching the football. They're both powerful runners. So I love that pickup. JC, and you know, JC is JC, man. I'm happy for JC for getting his bag. So just a well-rounded, free agency period.
The extension for JC Horn, making him, for I believe 7 minutes, the highest paid DB in the NFL. I thought was a move. Like, the only question about J.C. Horn, obviously, is Kenny, will he be able to stay healthy and on the field? I made the point that I think there have been some games at the end of years, the last couple of years that J.C. sat out, that probably could have gone, but sat out mainly because you guys are out of the equation at that point. There's really no point in taking that risk. Let him keep resting up and getting better, whatever. I think J.C. Horn is absolutely a top, let's say, six cornerback in the National Football League, maybe better than that. Getting that extension done, and I think I said this to you like 3 or 4 weeks ago, getting that extension done felt like priority number one to me, because cornerbacks are not a dime a dozen in the NFL. And when you stumble on one like this kid, I want him locked up. The fact that you got that done and then signed Rico to shore up the backfield, and on a $3 million deal after the man crossed 1,000 yards in Dallas last year, like, Dan Morgan's having himself a week, pal.
Yeah, he's doing a good job. I think he's structuring everything well. And I agree with everything you said about JC. I know some are frustrated with his inability to stay on the field, but I think he proved that he could stay healthy last year, playing the majority of the games, like you said, and only sitting when basically the season was out of reach for the Carolina Panthers, and kind of, hey, I'm getting ready to sign this deal, man. I don't need to risk my body. So I respect that. And, I think that's an excellent decision on his part and a good business move. So never gonna criticize a player for protecting themselves from injury, especially when you're going to get a big deal and there's nothing to play for. So shout out to J.C. Horn and Rico. Yeah, man, I did not expect that. I'm going to be honest. I was not expecting Rico. First of all, I didn't even know he was available, to be honest with you. I didn't even know the Cowboys were going to let him go, even though he just, like you said, had a 1,000-yard season last year. I was surprised that that happened. I was surprised we got Rico, and for the amount we did, the running back market, unless you're, Saquon or Christian McCaffrey, is really low. So, I'm not surprised for the amount, but I am surprised that the player himself was available. So I think we swapped running backs. I think Miles Sanders went to the Cowboys. So have fun with that over there. And we'll gladly take Rico. We'll gladly take Rico.
Breaking news. General manager Jerry Jones does dumb thing video at 11. Incredible.
Yeah.
Rashad Beard joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Offset. We actually are scheduled. We were supposed to have Rico on the show yesterday. Had to pass it. We're going to have him on Monday. Probably record it and play back after. But I've listened to some audio from his time down in Dallas. Guy's former Gamecock. He's from right up the road in Asheville, North Carolina. Like, you kind of get the vibe that the opportunity to play in the Carolinas and prove that he's that guy was there. I listened to an interview yesterday from J.C. Horn after he signed his extension. They asked him, like, talk to me about the locker room. And it's not just that he goes, I'm optimistic, I got high hopes. Like, man, I felt that in my chest. I'm like, this dude's being genuine. He's all in right now. Rashad Beard, like, I hate to talk intangibles because I don't know what they translate to on a football field, but this feels like a football team that feels like a football team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're getting there, man. One season, one game at a time. A shout out to Bryce, man. He's at the Hornets game the other day and got a standing ovation. So you can tell. I mean, I got to be honest with you, Rob, man. I'm going to Walmart and I'm going just out. I'm out and about, and I'm just seeing a lot of Panthers gear. Like it's the off season, so I can tell you that the energy in Charlotte is a little bit palpable for the Carolina Panthers. I think we're all excited. We close the season on a high note. Beating the Atlanta Falcons, and I think the energy is kind of spilling over. I mean, I don't see this much Panthers paraphernalia during the season. And I've seen it. I'm going to Walmart and seeing it all over the place. So I think everybody's feeling it, and I'm excited, man. I just think hopefully we can capitalize. We still have some holes to fill. I think we still need a wide receiver, still need a safety, still need another edge rusher. But I think we're heading in the right direction, and that's really all we're asking for is just to go the right direction and not be stagnant. So I feel good about it.
I was on social media yesterday, and Jared Feinberg, who covers the Panthers for Panthers Wire and SI and some other outlets, he had a tweet up that said, I think the Panthers internally are higher on Xavier Leggett than most of the rest of the league, and that's why I don't think they've made a move at wide receiver. There's one of two options, which is either A, he's right, or B, you guys are angling for a receiver in the draft to build a very young core between him, Jalen Coker, and whoever you end up drafting. Are you leaning one direction or the other?
Yeah, for me, I think you need to continue to add weapons. I like Xavier Leggett. I think he is has some potential. I don't think he's a finished product by any means. And so I think he deserves and needs to earn the right to continue to develop. But at the same time, I'm not resting on my laurels. For me, I need to go out there and get a true wide receiver one. And I don't think even in XL's at his best, I think he's probably a good two. Just being honest. But I think we need to go out there and get a true dog, somebody that you need to account for. I think Coker has that capability potentially, but I think he needs to develop as well. But I'm not resting on it. I'm not going to just wait around. I'm going to continue to draft. I'm not saying we need to draft a wide receiver at eight. I love Tet. I like Matthew Golden. There's a couple of guys that I like, but I also like some guys a little bit later. And the league has done nothing but tell you that you can get a wide receiver one later in the draft, right? You can get a wide receiver one in the third, second, fourth round. You can get they exist. And I think that Canales is a guy that can develop a guy into being a true wide receiver one. And maybe it is XL. Maybe it is Coker. But I think we need to find another dynamic guy, i.e. one of my favorite guys in the draft is Jalen Royals. Jalen Royals from Utah State. This kid is nasty. And I think if you get a kid like him, who is a speed guy, who can run routes and get open, we don't have that type of receiver on the roster. I think we need a little bit of, a different type of skill set in that room. And I think that's what this receiver room is missing. So I'm going out there and I'm trying to draft another wide receiver.
I want to flip to defense, but before we do, got to talk offensive line. One of the things that I think the best teams in the leagues do, and I'm talking about Philadelphia, Kansas City, etc., even if the offensive line on paper ain't super high quality, consistency matters a lot, Rashad Beard, because I think it's, you know, even if it's not a great line, if your quarterback starts to find out, okay, this is the weak point, they can kind of play to that a little bit, make it a life a little bit easier. I read yesterday, and I don't know off the top of my head if this is 100% true, but the Panthers right now have every offensive lineman, starters, and depth on the roster last year, back on the roster this year. Starters and depth, every O-lineman is back. Now, that's not to say you may not stumble into another situation like you had last year when Robert Hunt came out and available, but, I mean, this to me felt like it had the potential to be a top 7-8 offensive line in the league last year, and every one of them is back. I think there needs to be some flowers in the mail to Dan Morgan for that.
Yeah, that's huge. I think chemistry, continuity are things that we have not seen in the Carolinas for a long time. So to bring back the same offensive line, you know, shout out to the Panther Nation research team, because I think they discovered that the last time we had the same offensive line in back-to-back seasons was our Super Bowl year and the year after that. So 2015, 2016. So shout out to the PNP research team that discovered that. But we need that continuity, right? We need to be able to build on that. And I think that's huge. It's huge for Bryce Young. It's huge for the offensive line because, like you said, they know what their tendencies are. They know where they're going to be. And I think it's going to do nothing but breed success for the Carolina Panthers and Bryce Young. So I think it's good for everybody. And you're right. Dan Morgan does deserve a lot of credit for that.
My biggest takeaway from that answer is that Rashad Beard's got the pod doing well enough that he's got a research team.
Yeah, man. Hey, they always fact check me. So I asked the question. I said, when was, because this came up on my show, the exact fact that you just brought up. And I said, hey, when was the last time this happened? And we had to do some digging, and they found out that it was 2015, 2016, and going back to 2008 and 2009, I believe, was the last time before that. So those were good seasons for the Carolina Panthers. So all good things.
Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate, talking a little off-season football. Got another minute or two, Rashad Beard. I know we're kind of at this point, it's all done, but waiting the next 40 whatever days it is until the NFL draft. Have you switched up your feelings on the pick? Are you looking at maybe the trade? Because I've heard an increasing number of Panther personalities starting to talk trade back, trade back, trade back. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. Have you joined them, or is there a guy you think's available at 9 that you're like, regardless of the offer, that's the guy we got to go get?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of guys that if they're there at 8, I think the Panthers will take. But I don't know. Mason Graham is one of those guys. I think Mason Graham falls to 8. I think they're going to take him. But I I am on the train of, you know, we need to get a lot of players and we need to get some talent. And so I don't know. I'm starting to see some things happening. I think I've heard the name Michael Williams or Mikael Williams thrown around a lot at eight from Georgia. I'm seeing Jalen Walker is starting to cool down on him a little bit. I don't know. I honestly have no idea, man. I have no clue what they're going to do. In a trade back scenario, I could see them taking Nick Emanwori from South Carolina, another South Carolina Gamecock. Just add those to the list. We got like the whole roster, but I think about 40% of the roster is South Carolina guys at this point. But listen, I don't know what they're going to do, but I know we have holes at wide receiver, edge rusher, and safety. And I anticipate one of those being the top several picks in the draft. So I, whatever they decide to do, I'm with it. If they can trade back and acquire more picks in the second or third round, I'm cool with that. But as long as they get the guys and get a guy that's talented and can contribute day one, I'm okay with that.
New camera angles got the pearly whites up on display, buddy, but we've lost the merch in the background. You feeling good about the trade-off, the facial up close, but you dropped some of the gear in the back?
I don't know, man. Listen, the people haven't said anything about it, so I'm just rocking what the people say. The people said they like it, so I'm rolling with the people.
Okay, say,
people
I like,
want me to zoom back out?
Only thing he's lost is the light.
Look, it's like HD quality, but like we had some helmets on the wall. I kind of see one of them. It feels like you kind of jam some stuff onto the desk.
You can see those shoes. You see those shoes?
I can see the kicks. Yeah. I can see the post. There we go. So I'm like, I don't know, man. Like the trade-off here between that like Tom Cruise, Idris Elba up close smile and then backing it out. Like you got a decision to make here, bud.
It sounds like jealousy. That's what it sounds like. That's what I'm getting.
Whatever the people want, man. I give the people what they want. That's all.
Rashad Beard is indeed a man of the people. Host of the Panther Nation podcast. Follow them on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, make sure you are liked up, subscribed up to the Panther Nation podcast on YouTube. It is your go-to for Panther exclusive conversation. Brother, thank you for pulling up, man. Appreciate you.
Man, appreciate you guys. Enjoy another day of good March Madness basketball.
Let's go. Who's your national championship pick, by the way?
Go Duke.
The Blue Devils keeping it in the ACC. I respect it.
Absolutely, man. I'm a homer.
Just that little bit of hope. Just that little glimmer of hope because everybody else stank it up yesterday.
By the way, I picked Duke, too.
Somebody got to do it.
I picked Duke, too. You know who didn't? Rob Brown.
Who'd you pick, Rob?
Auburn. Jahni Broome. Best player in the country.
Struggling a little bit yesterday, right?
Dang!
16 seed.
It's a warm-up game. It's a tune-up. Alabama State. By the way, I'm going to tell you right now, Alabama State, that school's got some hype behind it. They're going to be good for a minute.
Dogs.
That's a good school. Yeah, I like it. Rashad, talk to you next week, brother. Appreciate you.
All right, peace out, guys.
See ya. Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast. Again, make sure you're following them on YouTube at Panther Nation PC on X, pardon me, on Panther Nation PC. Panther Nation podcast on YouTube. They're live like all the time. I'm going to be honest with you. I got no idea what we're talking about in the final hour of the show. I'll figure it out while Lonzo reads his sports flash. Let me guess what story number one is.
Hey, you know who didn't win yesterday?
You are so rude.
It's one and done for the Clemson Tigers after dropping their opening round game to McNeese State 69-67. Tigers finished the first half with just 13 points, taking 15 minutes to reach double digits. Clemson trailed by as many as 24 before scoring 14 in the final 45 seconds. If only they could have done that in the first half to close the margin. The Wofford Terriers gave all they had but fell short of upsetting Tennessee, falling in the opening round 77-62. Jacksonville had 15 and Corey Tripp added 14 in the loss. Alex Ovechkin has moved one goal closer to Wayne Gretzky's all-time scoring record after netting a career goal 888 last night in a 3-2 Washington victory. And make sure to tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for Wire to Wire, Cole Bryson and Diesel Ride Shotgun on your drive home and get you up to date on all the latest local and national sports news, all of it Wire to Wire.
I don't know how I'm going to get It Is Lava Time, Baby, over, but I'm going to help my man XL get It Is Lava Time, Baby, over. I don't know if we're going to have to get t-shirts made. I don't know if that's going to fit across the front of a baseball cap. I don't know what we're going to do, but I'm going to help my man Xavier get the phrase over, because it's just great. My favorite thing about that commercial, if you haven't seen it yet, Zoe, is that the entire commercial is him in front of a vending machine just repeatedly ordering and then picking out a Lava Reese's cup and then ordering and then taking out a Reese's cup and repeating the phrase.
I sent it to you. So
no, I'm saying my favorite part was he was doing that.
You said, I don't know if you've seen it.
No, I meant I
sent it to you.
I was speaking to the people when I said, I don't know
if
you've seen it.
But you said my name when you said that.
Okay.
You said, Lonzo, I don't know if you've seen that.
Okay, Lonzo sent me the commercial. I know he has seen it.
Pal.
My favorite thing.
Pal.
Buddy.
Buddy.
Is that the entire commercial is XL just repeatedly ordering and getting Reese's cups out of a vending machine. And it works. The man has got Riz. It's incredible. It's incredible. Okay. I got some stuff I want to get to. We got more to talk about. We got to get back into round one of the tournament. Continue to review yesterday.
Nope.
Preview today.
Nope.
I will give you my picks for this afternoon, 16 games, and we'll see at the end of round one if old Robbie B and co. can stay up on top of the station leaderboard. Yeah!
Yeah!
But there's two clips that I would like to play here in this segment, both of which I find somewhere between incredibly entertaining and mucho importante. The first is, I believe that...
And Joe Henry?
Yes. Of course. I believe, and in fairness, this is from a non-parent, I believe that you should teach your kids...
The children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way.
I believe that too. Somebody should write a song like that. I believe that you should teach your kids two things. Number one, that they should find the things that they are passionate about, that they love to do, and that they should pursue those things, even if they're not the popular things or the cool things. If your kid wants to play a musical instrument, help them do it. If your kid wants to be on the debate team, help them do it. Help them find their passions and grow them in it. The second thing I believe is you should stop telling your kids that they can be anything that they want to be. No, they can't. Okay? No, they can't. You just can't. I wanted to be an NBA player my whole life. Turns out I was both short and bad at basketball. So no, I can't. All right? Stop telling your kids they can do anything they want, but do tell them.
You're not short. I mean, maybe on talent, basketball talent.
Dwayne Wade's taller than me. For an NBA guy, I'd have had to be a point guard, and I am not a point guard.
So you're saying you don't have them handles?
Correct. I'm saying you give me the ball on the block, I will back down anybody. But you put me up top and need me to get a crossover move, it's just not in the bag. All right? However, I do think you should teach your kids.
Could you score more than 13 points and a half?
I watched C.J. McCollum go 1-for-22 in a game the other night. I could go 1-for-22, all right? And Pelicans, I'll go 1-for-22 for like a 20th of the money you're paying C.J. McCollum to go 1-for-22. Anyway, tell your kids to follow their passion. And hey, some of you might raise a kid that goes, you know what, I love basketball, I want to be around basketball, but I don't really have the skills, so I want to do something else. And they might become Amir Khan, the trainer for McNeese State, who has become the phenomenon of this NCAA tournament. This kid came out of the locker room yesterday leading the manager leading the Cowboys out to the hardwood to take on number 5 Clemson.
While I whip this out.
Carrying on a Flava Flav chain, a Buffalo Wild Wings branded beatbox that was playing and the boys were popping after the game was over. Oh, and by the way, the cheerleaders for McNeese State all had socks on that were just pictures of this kid's face. The cheerleaders loved this guy.
Don't you feel, wonder, is this guy a joke that everyone's
nope.
in on? Or is he,
I believe,
are they really like him?
They love this kid because in the post game, in the post game, celly in the locker room, one of the TV guys came over to interview him and be like, "Hey, you've kind of become this phenomenon in this tournament, right?" And the basketball players kept interrupting his interview to be like, "This kid." One of them said, "This kid is aura. This kid is the definition of it." The cheerleaders are wearing socks with his face on it. He was on TV damn near more than Brad Brownell was in this game yesterday. It was unbelievable. This kid is a kid who found his passion, who attacked his passion, and even if his passion is something that for years and years has been the butt of jokes to the point that Lonzo is justified in asking the question, is this legit or is this kid a joke? He found it, he attacked it, and not only has he found it and attacked it, but he's turned it into something that is incredibly special and is probably going to carry him for like a hot minute, okay? So you got Amir Khan over here who became an icon of this tournament. If McNeese State makes a run to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, this kid is going to be the face of this McNeese State team, and he don't even play. I think that's incredible. And then we travel to Lexington, Kentucky. Now, you may not know much about the Kentucky Wildcat basketball team, except for everybody does. Because Kentucky, when you think college basketball, is one of like five or six programs that their logo is the logo of college basketball. So much so that the managers and the trainers of the Kentucky basketball staff got themselves an NIL endorsement deal. Now, they're not players, so I don't know if it's just like, I guess for them, it's really just an endorsement, right? Because they, if you're not playing, you can sign whatever you want. You can do whatever job you want. But the point is, a swimming pool company at Lexington, Kentucky, looked at these trainers and said, you know what? They work. They attack this game. And they are members of the office staff of one of the most recognizable brands in college basketball. We're going to hook them up. We're going to give them an endorsement deal. We're going to give them an NIL deal or whatever you want to call it. Now, that in and of itself is good enough for me to be like, hey, that's cool. Thumbs up. I think that's great. I think having that unique branding, that unique sponsorship is a great thing. And then they said, we're going to put you in a commercial, Kentucky trainers. We want to put you in a commercial. We want you to go out there and we want you to pimp our pools. And the Kentucky trainer said, we got you, and did this.